are listening to the Redemption Church Podcast with Pastor Daniel Williams as we study through the book of 1 John in a series called Walk in Love.
You'd be clapping a lot harder if you had to do it. Right? It's always harder to speak in front of people than to actually listen to people. So my name is Pastor Daniel. If I haven't met you, so excited that you're here this morning with us. And we're continuing our study in called Walk in Love. And man, it's just a season in our church where we're studying about God's love. What does it mean? How do we experience it? What does that look like? What does the Word of God tell us? And the idea is just to have testimonies, to study God's Word, and to say, hey, we're in this life, in this venture of faith, and as we walk with God, we get to experience God, and that's different for everyone. It affects our lives in so many different ways, in so many different areas, and so we want to take time to worship God in spirit and truth, and understanding who He is, and how He works, and who He is, and really, it takes a long time to experience God. We're going to be walking with Jesus for all eternity when you enter a relationship with Him, and you can continue to grow deeper and deeper and deeper into His love. And so it's fun to be able to hear you guys share about God's love in your life, how you're experiencing it. And the theme of 1 John is an older brother, a guy in the faith, an apostle, disciple of Jesus. And he's writing this many years after Jesus died and rose again, about 60 years afterwards. Okay, and so he's this 90-year-old-ish guy writing to believers, people that have a relationship with Jesus, but they're questioning, do I really have it? What was Jesus like? And he's trying to give them assurance of faith, trying to say, hey, this is how you can know the love of God. This is what you're supposed to do. And I'm writing you a testimony to let you know about the love of God. And so the love of God is a very important thing in this letter. And it's a very important thing in our relationship with Jesus, just as Christians. I was so encouraged even this week. Brian, he actually is in Mexico right now, serving a two-month internship. And, I think it was around day 10, he got a little discouraged. And he just reached out to our private Facebook page and he said, hey guys, I'm really tired. Like, this is really exhausting because you're working all day. And then afterwards, it's an orphanage. So then you're just like, the kids get home and then you're ministering to kids and you're helping them do homework. And then he doesn't speak the language. And then it's like, you wake up and then you go to bed and you're like, what just happened to my day? And about the 10th day, he was like, I just had to take a nap. Right? And so he reached out to all of you and asked just for prayer. And it was so sweet because you guys were able to love and minister to him. There was like, I don't know, maybe 10-ish people coming on Facebook. Just, okay, we're praying for you, Brian. We love you. And giving him scripture and encouragement. And just seeing the body work in a loving manner is just so beautiful. Seeing us love one another. And it's so cool to be able to see the love that manifests through people. The love that manifests through you guys as you guys serve and love one another. Even the process of planning Proclaim Church, just the process of us showing up tonight and giving love and support to Will and Kristen, how much of a blessing that is. I mean, we know this, right? Because listen, if 10 of us didn't show up today, it would only be you guys, right? I mean, that's how significant it would be, right? Like if you 10 didn't show, like it makes a big difference in room and dynamic and just how we've been able to love on them and just to pray for them and help them, encourage them. These things actually make a difference in people's lives. And that's the cool thing about God. He's real. Like when you actually follow Jesus, it affects your life and his love touches your life. And then you're able to pour that out into other people and it affects their lives. And it's real. It makes an actual difference. And so when we talk about the love of God and walk in the love of God, we're not saying some theory or some like idea. We're actually experiencing God's love through Jesus Christ and having a relationship with him and walking in this faith. And so when we apply these truths to our lives, we're actually blessed, Jesus said. And so last week, we sort of looked at the passage of how we're to walk in light. How if you're going to walk in love, you first need to walk in light because it exposes things. It exposes who God is. John would say God is light. And we can experience God's love through light. And the hard part about light is it exposes us. Light signifies purity, holy, righteousness, and we are not that. But yet, John would tell us, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Meaning that we can actually truly be ourselves, walk in light, and God actually sees our imperfections. But he's faithful. He still loves us. He doesn't just brush away the sin. He actually died for sin. And he loves us that much that we can actually be ourselves with him and with others and have our sins forgiven in him. Because he paid that price that you and I could never pay. And so now we get a walk in newness of life. And John's trying to say, hey, do you understand how to do that? Because most of the time, especially with love, we have this love in the world where it's not the biblical love. It's we'll love you because we want you to love us. Or we'll love you and put on a show or a mask or something because we want to look good so we can have your approval. But if God is light and he sees all of our junk, then we can't front. We can't lie before God. John would even say, if you say you're a Christian, you walk in darkness and you're not, and you claim to be walking in light, you're a liar. You can't lie from God. You may be able to lie from other people there, but you can't lie from God. And the great thing is he's just. He knows it. So he deals with sin. And in that, that's called mercy. In that mercy, that we actually get to come agreement upon God, confess that we are flawed, messed up, broken people. God loves us anyway. This is what John's trying to explain and explore in this passage, in this book. And so we're in 1 John, and it's in the New Testament. It's page 1029, I believe, in a Bible we gave you. But if you have a smartphone, you could look it up. And we're going to go through the next section. And in today's message, I'm calling it an important reminder. An important reminder. We're going to look at a passage, and John wants us to respond appropriately to this love. As we're walking and saying, well, what does this mean? And walking in light, and this is who God is. How does this actually affect my life? John's going to tell us it's we appropriately respond to God's love by worshiping Jesus. And so he wants to give us this important reminder by that we love and respond in obedience. And so if you have a Bible, you can read along. If not, I'll have the words up on the screen. And like we always do here at Redemption Church, we love going through the Word of God. And so we're going to read it, we're going to pray, and then we're going to just study and meditate on it and pull out things to apply it to our lives and to understand what God would have us to say today. And so let's read together. I'll read out loud. You can read along. And it says, by this we know that we have come to know Him, God, if we keep His commands. But whoever says, I know him, speaking of I know God, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And remember, we're talking about walking in love. It's a lifestyle. It's a practice. And so in verse 7, he says, beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandments is the word that you have had or have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And so he says, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Well, it's a lot to take in, but as we go and study through, let's ask Jesus to speak to us and minister to us. God, we look to you now, and we ask that you would minister, that you would speak, that you would continue to help us see your love and what the realities of that means. Spirit of God, speak through me. Thank you, God, for using weak people. Thank you, God, for gathering us, a group of sinners, saved by your grace, that we can be real and walk in your light and come to you and confess our sin, and you're faithful and just to forgive us. Lord, we want to know what it is to walk in light, to walk in love, to live according to your ways, and so help us to respond to your grace today. Help us to understand your grace in a more clear way. May you be glorified, Jesus, as we talk and as we study your word. And so we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the power of your word, that it doesn't return void. I thank you, God, just individually, how you brought everyone here. Lord, you know exactly everything they're going through, their concerns, their worries, what they've gone through this week, what they're going to go through. But in this moment, in this time, God, you brought them here to hear from you. So Spirit of God, speak to them. Speak to them in a powerful way, in a prophetic way. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Well, the older, mature John is writing. And there's something about being old and mature, right? I found myself, as I get older and mature, I start saying the same things. I don't know about you that are older, but some of us, they're a little older than me, and they say the same things because they forget, right? You just forget. Or like, I remember when you think about your dad, he would always tell the same stories. You're like, dude, I've heard this, man. You've been telling me this since like 1997, man. Like, come on. Ladies. But when you get old, you start saying the same stories. And sometimes it's because you forget, but sometimes it's just because they're that important. They're that close to your heart. There are things that you just want people to know. And even if they've heard your story, you're going to say it again and again and again. And I think that as we walk in community, as we understand who God is, it's important to share stories with one another. Because sometimes, as honestly, as people, we just forget. And we need to hear the faithfulness and the goodness of God. But we also just need to tell stories to declare the truths that are really, really, really important, to direct our lives. And this is what John is doing. He's old and he's mature. And he's saying the same message over and over and over again. This book is all about loving God, loving others, just walking in love. But yet he says it again. And he says it again because he knows, as us as Christians, as believers, we get sidetracked and sometimes we just forget. But he also knows that this truth is dear to his heart. And he wants us to live by this story, to understand this story. And so he's serving as an older, mature brother in the faith, reminding us what's important. And then in this book, he reminds us this important thing. It's love. Right? I say reminder because most people, like, if you ever try to, like, argue, like, you should love, people, like, they'll agree with you. Oh, that's right. That's a pretty good point. Like, you should love someone. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's nothing new, but yet John is telling us once again, and he's taking a lot of ink to write this down to remind believers. Because it's that important. You remember what the Word of God says about love in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul would tell us that if we speak in tongues of men and angels, but if we have not love, it's just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That we can actually have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but if we have not love, man, it means nothing. We can have all of the faith. We can actually have faith to move the mountains. But if we have not love, Paul says, then we're nothing. And if we give all that we have and deliver our bodies even up to be burned, but have not love, we gain nothing. Love is a very important message of the Bible. Jesus came on the scene. He was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching. Because he was able to see the law and he was able to see life and connect them and have a prophetic authority because he was sent by God on the scripture. And the Pharisees were jealous of Jesus because he was getting all the attention. They were supposed to be the smart ones. They were supposed to be right with God. And so they went to Jesus to test him. Because, you know, there's 613 Levitical laws. And then on top of that, they put a whole bunch of other laws to obey those laws, to have safeguards. And so in Matthew chapter 24, there was a guy that asked Jesus a question. He says in verse 35, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, why would you want to know the greatest thing? If you know the greatest thing, the first priority or whatever, it just seems in life that will help direct you and guide you. If you know this is more important than this, you can say no to this and yes to this. It's pretty important that when you wake up, you shower, right? You brush your teeth. You usually do that because if you don't, you may stink and people may complain, right? It's a silly illustration, but we all have priorities. We all do things. Our behaviors are based on our beliefs. And so what we believe affects our behavior. And so this is actually a really great question that we can learn. Even though he's saying it to test him, it's a good thing that we can learn because, well, that is a good question. What is the law? Well, what is the best thing? What does God require of us? Like, how should we walk in these ways? What is this whole life about? Which is the greatest commandment of the law, he says. And he said to him, you shall love your Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And you can just see Jesus being like, mic drop, it's done. I mean, how can you argue with that? You really can't. He's saying you can do everything. If you're going to love, then you won't covet. You won't adult have an affair. You won't do all these things like just love God and love people. And it seems so simple, but it's so hard to apply, isn't it? It seems so profound and just glorious, but yet John is bringing this up so practically we can actually walk in it. That it can actually make a difference to our life. That it wouldn't just be head knowledge, but it'd be something that we lived out so we get to receive the blessing of the love of God and what that looks like. And so John, in verses 3-6, he says this. It's a simple message, you've heard it before. Love God. Did you know that God actually wants you to love him? Wants you to know him? Cares about you? He says, by this we know that we can come to know him if we keep his commandments. Jesus would echo this in John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word is truly in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. How do we know we have a relationship with him? Well, if we're loving God. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And so remember, John's an older guy, and people are questioning, do I have a relationship with God? What does that look like in Jesus? And so he's saying, hey, do you want to know if you have fellowship with God? You'll love him. You'll know him. You'll care about him. This is a byproduct of our relationship with Jesus. He is that good. He is that great that when you look to God, you'll fall more in love with him because he is glorious. He's above any other thing that can in this world, and he satisfies. Jesus said in John 15, 10, if you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. We should really have a heart and attitude where we want to obey God and know his character and love him. Because when we walk in the light and God loves us, we actually are changed and we want to love him back. See, the Christian life is so weird because it's not a I have to, but it's I get to. I don't have to do all these good things for God to love me. Actually, the Bible says I can never do so much good things for God to love me. But God loves me because he is love, and he loves me for who I am, inflawed, perfect. While I was an enemy of his, he died for me. And so now I get to respond to his love. Now I get to worship him. He makes me spiritually alive, and so I want to worship him. I want to know him. I have a relationship. I have a covenant with him. I was thinking of this. It's sort of like marriage. Laura and I have been married for 15 years, and we're in this relationship, and I don't want to sin against her. I don't want to rebel against her, hurt her, because I love her. I care about her. And the same is true with God. We're in a relationship with him, a covenant with him. We don't want to just turn our back to him and rebel against him. We want to please him. As I get to know Laura more, I learn her ways. And I see how she behaves and what makes a difference in her life and what she wants. Like, for example, every time I go to Trader Joe's, I always get at least 2 avocados. It just is what it is, man. They're the best avocados. They may be a little bit more expensive, a quarter more than Walmart, but you know, they're the best. I also get tulips because those are her favorite flowers. Not roses. You would think this woman, roses are more expensive, but she likes tulips. I also get cookie butter ice cream because, come on, man, we're hanging out this next week and we get cookie butter ice cream. I know that she likes it. It's going to be good. But I'll also pick up the orange chicken at Trader Joe's. Do you know why I pick up the orange chicken at Trader Joe's? Because it's the bomb. That's why. But also, it saves her in cooking a meal. We can have that for dinner this week. So when I am by Trader Joe's and I know that stuff about her, It's not, oh man, I have this list, I gotta get it done. It's like, ooh, I'm thinking about her. And so because I'm thinking about her, I have this list. And because I have this list, I get to express my love in buying an avocado. Now that may seem silly and dumb to you, but it's our relationship and how it works. Because I know her. And see, God has given us things for us to know him. And yes, is there a list? Absolutely. But our motivation now is different. We're like, ooh, I know that God loves when I love other people. Oh, I know that God loves when I just like seek him and pursue him and love him and serve him and raise my kids up in his way. Oh, I'm gonna do that. That's gonna be fun. That's gonna be special. And it builds in our relationship. And I love how John is specifically telling us how to love God. Like, dude, I'm the type of guy, type A personality. I love doing something and then I'll put it on a list just so I could check it off. Like, that's me. So I love that God actually gives us clear direction on how to love him. What does that look like? Well, we can go to his word. He says, whoever abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Jesus defines love for us. And we need this. We need practical instruction, boundaries to let us know, because we're all over the place when we talk about love. I mean, I literally have heard people say, I love beans and I love my children. What? Yeah, like I love TV and I love my job. What? Like, no, you like or you care. Like, we use love and we just throw it out. But the Bible defines even what love is. If you continue to go in chapter 13 of Corinthians, Paul would say love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own ways. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And John is saying, hey, you know, you can look at the perfect definition of love, because if you walk as Jesus walked, he's perfect. He fulfilled all the law. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. And this is why we get his righteousness through the cross. This is why God looks at us as holy, as perfect, as righteous, because we get Jesus' perfection. And so if we want to know what love manifested looks like, we actually look to Jesus and walk in his ways. Like that old trend is so cheesy, but it's so true. Like, what would Jesus do? Remember those bracelets? Like, you can look and actually see, like, what's the definition? How do we see it? Jesus was kind. He was patient. He didn't boast. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't rude. And you can just look at his life. And so he says in verse 7 and 8, this thing that's a little weird that I want to explain to you, because he says, this is an old command, but there's a new way. It's an old command. God has always wanted us to love him, but there is now a new way. Beloved, I am writing to you no new command, but an old commandment that you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Now, how do they hear this? Through the Torah. Deuteronomy 6:5 tells us that we should love God. Leviticus 19:18 says we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus would even say this in Mark chapter 12, Matthew we just read. And so this is an old commandment, but the law never helped us fulfill anything. It just showed us our need. The law just shows us perfection, but it doesn't mean that we can actually be perfect and live in it. And see, there was an old commandment showing us that we needed a Savior. The law was pointing us to a person. Many of us, we want to get right with God, and we want to do a lot of good things and love God, and we just think if we do all this different stuff, then it will be perfect, but we'll never be perfect. That's why John says your love is going to be perfected in glory, but not now. Now you just got to keep on going and seeking a person. Because in verse 8, he says, at the same time, it's an old law, but at the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm writing to you. Now, why is it new? Because which is true in him. This commandment you can actually fulfill now in him. In who? Well, it sounds to me like a lot in Jesus. You remember Ephesians chapter 1? In him, all spiritual blessings are found. We are a new Christ, we're a new creation in him. When we actually walk by faith and have a relationship with God, Jesus Christ himself, in him, we can walk in newness of life. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. See, before Christ, you could never love God truly. Because our hearts were slaves to sin and wicked. But Jesus fulfilled the law, loved God perfectly, and then imputed to you his righteousness, gave you his Spirit. John would tell us that who all believe in him, he gave the right to become children of God. You become spiritually born again. You are spiritually dead without Christ. And in Jesus, you become alive, and your whole behavior, your attitude, your life changes. And so now you could become this new creation that wants to follow God. As Jesus confirms the forgiveness of your sins and you have a relationship with God, you want to please him. And as you walk in newness of life in him, in a relationship with Jesus, you bear fruit. You bear love because you become what you worship. And the Bible says that if you don't worship Jesus, you're worshiping an idol. We all worship things. We're made to worship. We could worship our family, we could worship sports, we can worship our job, our status, our career, anything and everything we can worship. But Jesus says when you worship him, the true and living King, you become like him. And if God is love, when we worship him, love will flow from our lives. This is why Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. See, the gospel of Jesus changes everything. The gospel means good news. This is good news that we can go to Jesus and in him now, we can obey this law. Because it's not about fulfilling a law, it's going to a person. And now our role as believers is just to go to God, to have a relationship with God, to abide and dwell and remain in him. Because it's by grace that we are saved through faith. Not anything that of ourselves we should boast about. And so Jesus says when you have a relationship with him, when you're seeking him, even in your imperfections, even in your flaws, you can still bear fruit. You can still love. It's an old command, but it's a new way. In Galatians 5:22, Paul would say, this is the fruit of the Spirit of God that has, we have a relationship that he seals us with the Spirit, God does, and we have a relationship with him. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the fruit. And this love is joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And listen to this. Against such things, there is no law. Our lives are not wrapped up about law and doing and all this different stuff. Our lives now are wrapped up in Jesus. In him and seeking him and loving him and having a relationship with the living God. And those, Paul says, those that belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. There's a new way to live now. It's called dying to yourself. It's called seeking God. And it's not because we have to, but it's because we get to. But listen, that love is demonstrated to others as well. Right? It's not just you and God, homie. There's a community. You've been adopted into a family. And anything that you love, you have to love something. There has to be an object to your love. And so God loves people. He cares about people. And the Bible tells us that we're to have fellowship with him, but also not just to love him, but to love others. And so John says, love people. You want to know how to live for God? Love God, but then also love people. In verses 9 through 11, John would say, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. You can't hate other people and be in light. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. Who is the light? Jesus. And in him, there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Listen, God loves you, and God loves people. God died for the world. This is one of the reasons why we love him, because he loves us. We are a part of this. But now as Christians, we're told to represent his kingdom, his ways. And this means that we're not to hate, destroy, put down people. That we are to love and care for them, just as God has loved us. Just as he forgave us, we're to forgive others. Jesus said in John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I mean, this is crazy type of love, because Jesus even told us to love our enemies. Not even like Christians, not even like people that have the same interest of us or maybe geographically live. I'm talking about everyone, because they are made in the image of God. People know something is wrong in this world when you're claiming to be a Christian and you're a jerk. They just know it. You can't get around it. You can't skirt around this. The Bible talks about too much of the love of God and how we're to love him and to love other people, because Jesus taught it and his disciples taught it, and John is teaching it. You remember Philippians 2, verses 4 through 5, Paul would say, let each of you not only look out for your own interest, but also the interest of others. Have this mindset, which was in Christ Jesus. Let's put on the same mindset as Christ. Well, he considered others. He loved others. He cared for other people, humbling himself. And see, if we don't care about loving others, then we're walking in darkness. If we're not following the ways of Jesus, then we should repent. Because it's important for us to love God and to love other people. And John is going to take a lot of that, this book, to talk about that, what that means. But this all flows from a love of God. In our reading plan, we were supposed to read John 7 through 9 this week. And in John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus would cry at this festival, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart flows rivers of living water. We receive a new heart from Jesus, and when we do, the Holy Spirit changes us and uses us. He has a great power to transform our lives, but then he gives us a great purpose and gifts to manifest and to show the love of God to others. And so John is just reminding us of these things. Even going through this text, I thought, man, there's so much in this, but trust me, he's going to say this message a lot more in this book. And let me just give this to you. This commandment is for you. We're all to love. Because you notice how he talks about we're to love God, we're to love others. This is it's an old command, but it's a new command in Christ. But then he says this weird thing in sort of poetry, if you understand. I write to you, fathers. I write to you, children. I write to you, young men. He's saying this over and over again. He's trying to explain it doesn't matter what part of your life, your spiritual growth, whether you're a father, a young man, or a child, whether you've been saved for 2 minutes or 20 years, this applies to you, Christians. These verses give us an example of different people in their faith and different maturity levels, right? We understand that, the difference between a child, a little baby, a young man, a father. And he says he's writing to all of them, all depths of faith, whether you've been walking with God for 40 years or 4 years. Children, it's a picture of your sins forgiven. They have a simple, childlike faith. And that's how they start their relationship with their father. We all start as children in the faith, babies, growing in the pure milk of the Word of God. But then as we grow and mature, we become young men wanting to use our gifts and cultivating our faith and fighting the battles and overcoming the evil one, as John says. And we become stronger as we abide in the Word. We grow in our faith and we get to know God through His Word by applying it, and we actually start doing things of God. But then we become fathers, where we know God. He talks about fathers knowing God. This knowledge is not just a head knowledge, it's an experience. Walking with someone for many years, you have this supernatural knowledge, maturity. They experience God and have spent time with Him. It's intimacy built over many years, a shared experience where now they're sharing their experience of Christ and sharing it with others because they have spiritual sons making disciples. And so John is saying, no matter what level of maturity you are in the faith, love applies to you. It's important. Children, are you learning? Great. You should love. Young men, are you battling and overcoming the evil one? Great. You should do that in love. Fathers, do you know God and been walking for a long time and making disciples? Awesome. You should love. You never are too mature to neglect love. And we're called to love. John wants us to know and apply this in our lives. And so he gives us this important reminder. And let me just make sure you understand this. because I was wrestling with this. This should cause your heart to be depressed. It should. As I was studying this and trying to apply it this week, it was just like, I just stink. I can't do this. And this is, if this is going to sum up all the law, and this is how perfect God is, I don't love my kids perfectly. I don't love you guys perfect. I should pray for you more. I should give more. I should do that. That's what the law does. It shows us glory of what we should do, but it never leads us in. And remember, he's not saying this to condemn us. I don't want you to hear this command, because it is a law, it is a rule, like, you guys need to love. John is saying, you guys, you need to love. We get to love. Now, I was thinking about a story in the Old Testament. Moses, he's a picture of the law. And Moses, before he died, God brought him up to the mountain and showed him the promised land. But then he had to die. And he was never able to enter the promised land, because that's the picture of the law. You can't walk in the promises of God through the law. But his apprentice, Joshua, he took the people of Israel in the Old Testament into the promised land. And this is so important to understand. In the Old Testament, there's the Torah, the first five books, and there's Joshua. And we've ordered it, and we, in our study, in our Bible, we've actually put it as a historical book. But in the Hebrew Bible, in the original thing, it's actually the first prophetic book, the Old Testament. So if you look at prophets and the Jewish Bible and the scripture, how they oriented the Jews, that would be their first prophetic book. Because prophecy is something to show you forth the picture of what's to come. All of scripture, Romans 15:4 says, is written for our encouragement and hope that we might have encouragement, right? To understand and point us to Jesus. And so Joshua, which means God is salvation, takes the people under his leadership and walks with them into the promised land. Because he had the faith. You remember that the reason why they couldn't enter into the promised land is because many years before, 40 years before, they took spies into the land. They said, hey, you know, go check it out. And Joshua and Caleb were the only dudes that were like, listen, God can do this. If we just trust in God and rely on God, it's done. But the other 10 spies were like, no, we can't do it. They're giants and just whatever. And so the people rebelled, and God was like, fine, you don't trust me, you don't get the blessing. Because God honors faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. And so now God is honoring Jesus, and he's taking his people into the promised land. And Joshua is where we get the word Jesus, Yeshua. See, the law is a picture of Moses, because the law and the rule will say, love God, love others. And it will show you how glorious loving others is. But it can never let you walk in that way. But Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, he actually comes and does something you can't do. He trusts God and lived that life, and God honored Jesus' righteous life and said, okay, you could take your people now into the promised land. And so now it's not about this law and a mountain and high. We actually in this world walk by faith in valleys, in hard times and lows, because it's not about a do and a don't, it's about a person, Jesus. And so I don't want you to come to this passage and think, okay, now I better love God and love more. No, here's how we're going to apply this. Stick close to Jesus. Go close to your leader, your Savior. Jesus said, follow me, my burden is light. Come to me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, this should cause you to turn and to repent, and that's what the Christian life is, one of dependence on God. And when we're close to our leader, the reality is we get to walk in the promises of God. See, those that were close to Moses, he stumbled and couldn't get him there. But when they walked with Joshua, they were able to walk in the promises of God. And so may we as a people look to this and be reminded, Jesus is so good, we can abide in him and we'll bear this fruit. It's not about producing our own fruit, it's about Jesus loves us so much that he gave us this impossible task to do, to make sure we know that even in our sanctification, walking out our faith, it's all about him and not about us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that we can come to you, that we can cry and ask for forgiveness of sin and ask for help, Lord. And God, I just pray, Lord, as a church, as a community, that we would fall more in love with you. That we would recognize, God, that as we're challenged and reminded of the importance of love, Lord, that you would help us to see, help us to know that you are the way that we love. God, that the gospel is good news to us. That we can come in all of our junk, all of our brokenness, all of our pain, all of our suffering, imperfections, and you're a God of mercy and you love us. So help us to continue to abide. Help us to respond, to worship you, to love you, to serve you. God, help us to know you more and more. Help us even to process this message, Lord. Before we go, Spirit of God, would you speak and minister to our hearts? Maybe we've been wandering and we've been thinking a religion would be better, or trying out church, or doing good behavior or serving. Lord, help us to get back to the simple gospel, that the good news is we get to have a relationship with you. Let us process that, Lord. Let us enjoy the relationship we have with you, Jesus. Give us that revelation, Lord. And now we ask, God, that you would help us to love. Help us, Lord. We want to know you. We want to serve you. So fill us with your Spirit. Help us to take time to orient our lives to you, not because we have to, but because we get to. Help us to know, Lord, that you are that good and that great. Be our Savior, be our King. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. This is Pastor Daniel Williams with Redemption Church. Thank you so much for listening to this message. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes, Google Play, or YouTube, so you never miss a message. The mission of Redemption Church is to pursue and to proclaim Jesus, and we would love to have you partner with us. Feel free to share these messages with your family and friends. And also, if you'd like to donate to the ministry, go to redemptiondb.com. God bless you.